going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Ryan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mikey. David, how are you boys doing today?
Doing well, Coom.
Well, we're very curious to get your take on whether the new tight end will be the kind of guy that ends up maybe having a jersey that will be worn by many people in Chicago. Will people be rushing to the store for the Loveland jersey?
It would sure be nice, wouldn't it? Give that quarterback an outlet at the tight end spot with Komet and him, and then yeah. You got some guys that can really run on the outside. It's you know, when our city and their teams play well, our city is just it's more vibrant. There's like more life in the city, don't you think?
Yes.
So when the Bears are good, and you know, let's say the Cubs and Sox are playing in October. The Bears are good. The Hawks and Bulls do. There's just something about our city that's just, you know, it's better than it already is, you know. So I really pull for all our teams to do well. You know, hopefully they get a good draft day today.
Coom, the Cubs are doing well. We'll get to them in a moment. We want your expertise. But certainly this has been a sad week as well. We lost Steve McMichael. Mongo was at Wrigley Field, and I believe you were at the plate when he had his little incident with Angel Hernandez. I know that probably put you in a position to have a relationship with Steve McMichael. What were your thoughts as we lost a legend this week?
Very sad. You know, it's sad in the sense that you lose somebody like Steve. You know, we've all been around Mongo for years, and you know, when him and Danny Hampton walked into a room, it was like an eclipse. You know, they walked in and it was like the room, you couldn't see the other side of the room. They'd come walking in, you're like, holy cow, look at them two. You know, and they were, you know, they were like inseparable at times, you know, and just great guys. And, you know, Steve was a 10. And him and I was the one that slid into home plate, got called out, spiked my helmet on the plate, bounced up in the air. For some reason, Angel didn't kick me out because he probably knew he blew the call right away. But, you know, then Steve, a couple innings later, does a stretch, and he has a few words for Angel Hernandez, which I just thought was the most – that was just awesome. I laughed so damn hard in the dugout. I was crying. I was like, sweet. And that was just really funny. It was a Steve McMichael moment. And then he blows the kiss at him, and I'm like, you know, even got a little WWF in there with the kiss blowing at Angel. I mean, it was just – it was incredible. And him and I got to be friends through the years. You know, at Mike Ditka's restaurant, I've met him numerous times hanging out and, you know, after all that. And, yeah, sad. He's gone through an unbelievable fight. So, you know, he's back to be a Mongo again now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to tell you, Ron, that's very well said. And that I went back and watched that clip as I was going through so many different things, thinking about losing Steve McMichael. And the look on Angel Hernandez's face is so funny because he's not like he threw him out of the game. It's like a call. I mean, what a clown. That was just so ridiculous. But he was so angry. That's one of the all-timers. And you're right. You know, the thing about ALS is the way that it you know, kind of attacks the body, the spirit, the person. And, man, it was so difficult to see a guy who was larger than life, you know, felled by that disease and the way that he battled it and everything that happened. It's been difficult to kind of take it all in. And I think David did a great job yesterday, did a tribute to Mongo. Mm-hmm. And the idea that now he is at rest, now that he is at peace, you know, now that the pain is over, it's just like, you know, it's hard to handle losing people who were an important part of our city, of the landscape of the place. But the idea that someone as powerful and strong as him and the way that he went through that horrible decline from that disease and the idea that he's at rest now is almost – it's almost comforting in a way. And, you know, obviously you pray for his family.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. And David, that was wonderful.
Thank you. It's tough. A lot of people have had a difficult week.
Yes.
Mourning the loss of Steve McMichael at a time the Bears are drafting. So it's got a lot of mixed emotions. And Coombs, certainly you've been at the ballpark because you're watching a real exciting time in the Cubs season. They've played 26 games. They're 16-10. I don't need to tell you, a year ago they were 17-9. In your mind, given what you're seeing and who they're beating, how is this year different from last season? Is it just because they're beating tougher teams, or do you see something more special and sustainable in this Cub team?
Well, first of all, you never know in baseball. You really don't. So saying you have a grasp on it, I would be lying through my teeth. Because if you think you got a grasp on our game, guess what? Wait 2 weeks and see how you feel then. But I really do believe there's some things with the Cubs ball club. We'll just go down the list. The starting pitching has been good. They're doing their job. They're a group that you don't think is going to have big swings in their performance because, you know, they've been there and done that, and they're healthy. So as long as they stay healthy, those guys are going to continue. The Tyone's points, Colin Ray has been a big step up, you know, with Steele going down. He has done his job to keep the team in the game when he is thrown. So that part has been good, and you expect, you know, Imanaga to continue the way he has been. The other thing that I don't think teams expected or were prepared for, and I know the Dodgers won because we saw that in four or five of the games, not the games in Japan, but the games since, is the Cubs' ability to run and their athleticism. It's just infuriating for the other team. If they get guys on base against the Dodgers, they were going to run. And they ran the Dodgers out of a couple games. And you just don't see that a lot nowadays. And that you could just feel it with the Dodgers that they couldn't do anything about it. So that's really good. And this offense, you know, when they put pressure on the opposing team, you know, and they're getting help up and down the lineup, the catching spot, the Cubs are leading in every category, I think, offensively with the catchers hitting eighth or ninth. You know, Pete Armstrong's doing his job. Michael Bush has been, you know, do you even consider him like a young player in the league now? I mean, he's doing everything you expect a veteran player to do. And the guy's, you know, a year and a month into Major League Baseball, and he's playing like a veteran player of 10 years. So, you know, and then last but not least, the star players are doing it. And they're – how – did you really think – I didn't get to see Kyle Tucker play as much as you'd like, obviously, before he came here.
Wow.
This guy, he's a player.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
He does it in every aspect of the game is, like, fine-tuned. We're in a, you know – the last week of April, he goes and gets balls in the outfield. He can throw. He runs the base as well. And I don't think he swung at a bad pitch away all season yet. He's got an incredible eye, and he's just, you know, the MVP, you know, talk is not unjust for him because he is doing everything you expect a guy to do.
I'm just curious if you have any more information with Seiya Suzuki. Obviously, we saw him scratched with the right wrist soreness after that head first dive, and I know Craig Counsell has kind of joked about the fact that that he will not be sliding head first anymore. And I don't know if that was a joke, to be honest with you. I think it's probably a good idea,
right.
but. Is he going to be okay? Will he stay away from an injured list? And then, you know, obviously Ryan Pressly having his knee drained was a shocker. I did not know that was going on. Where's he at? And as long as we're on all the bad news, Javier Assad on his rehab felt something in the side. So just, you know, again, none of this in and of itself is kind of very alarming, but just a lot of little things like that kind of bother you.
Yeah, the Assad thing is a bummer.
Yeah,
because he is a guy that you don't, you know, we didn't talk about him a lot, but you know, he was really a solid starter. He really was, and it will be again. But you know, that was a bummer. He had a setback for sure. The Pressly thing caught everybody by surprise. Nobody knew about it, and he got his knee drained. Somebody who's had 13 knee surgeries while I was playing, you can get your knee drained, get a shot, and a couple days later you can play. So, you know, he's a little bit older, so I'm sure he has gone through some of this issue. You don't just one time all of a sudden get your knee drained. So he has gone through some of this. So that is something, I don't know his issue, but it is something you can play through depending on the injury. I'm no doctor. But I have had my share of time in the training room with the knees. And the same thing with the wrist. The wrist thing for a hitter, we were talking about this yesterday. I was out. The wrist thing for a hitter is a tricky thing. And I know that's why Craig Counsell is being a little probably cautious about this. If you have a sore wrist and you're a hitter, that is one thing that can affect your swing. It can affect, you know, the at-bats day after day. And it can, the worst part of the whole thing can be a real lingering issue, you know, just because we play so much. It just doesn't get time to heal. So that the wrist thing, I would say, after the second time, they're going to be pretty cautious with say, his wrist if it's bad. Because the last thing you want him to do is be fighting a wrist issue the entire season.
So, Ron, when you look at the Cubs' third base situation, it's one of those things that we talk about. Well, when the Cubs are good, these are the kind of things that are fun to quibble about because everything else seems to be going very well. Maybe not the bullpen at times, maybe not the starting rotation, but they're winning. But when they have a third base situation, you think they're going to be good this season. You wonder, is this really the best plan moving forward? What do you think about this plan? Because now it seems reduced to Nicky Lopez maybe here to shore up the defense and John Birdie to provide a little speed, but there's no one answer. And when you have three third basemen, do you really have one?
Yeah, you're in a predicament right now where you thought you had, coming out of spring, you thought you might have this, have a solution. You had, you know, Shaw, you know, doing, you know, going through spring and you're hoping that he would catch on at it and work out for Matty. And, you know, I thought Gage Workman had a great spring and, you know, he got to the big leagues. And, you know, when you're a young kid and you haven't played out of Double A yet, and then you're expected to be a utility guy where you play maybe once a week at the most, that's a big ask. He didn't play. So, you know, he just wasn't prepared to be that guy. It's an issue for the Cubs right now. There's no doubt. And they're going to, you know, I would guess that in looking at their ball club, that they're looking at solutions right now, whether it be in-house or outside the organization would be my guess. But it's a situation that doesn't have to be fixed immediately, but boy, you'd sure like to get a handle on that spot. And hopefully one of the guys in-house does well enough where you can start running him out there day after day and, you know, and at least getting something out of that position. But right now it's been somewhat of a struggle. If that struggles for another month, it would not surprise me if the Cubs pull the trigger on a move.
Hmm. Ron Coomer on the Score is sponsored by Huntington, home of early pay. More at huntington.com/yourmoney. Ron, we talked about it this morning. The Cubs, I believe, scored 18 runs in two games against the Dodgers. Now they got Philly in for three games. What's your over on your under on runs for this series?
I always get worried when teams score big runs. The Cubs have taken advantage, I'll say this, of the weather conditions. When the conditions have been good to hit, at Wrigley Field, they've taken advantage of that. You know, and sometimes they wait till the eighth inning to take advantage of it, but nevertheless, they've taken advantage of it. So, you know, I mean, we had the wind howling out, and it was a 2-1 game going into the bottom of the seventh, and we'd been playing for about an hour and a half only, and I'm thinking, am I missing something here? The wind's blowing out at 30 miles an hour, and the two pitching staffs have dominated. Hold on, by the way. There's going to be 20 more runs scored in this game in the last couple innings. I just like, the hell just happened here? The weather, it seems beautiful today. You know, we might get some rain, but it's going to be somewhat warmer. And, you know, I right now this offense, the way it's going, you know, you expect the star players to hit the top of the lineup to do their job. Pete Armstrong's on fire right
Unbelievable.
Now. Unbelievable.
Wow.
He steals it. You can see the confidence just oozing out of him right now. So I would expect the Cubs to score some runs. The Philly starting rotation is good. Bullpen has had its struggles, but the rotation has been pretty good. So it's a to-be-determined, Mike. But when an offense is rolling like this, you know, usually they're going to score some runs.
Since the last time we talked to you, Coom, last Friday morning, you've probably called two of the most remarkable comeback victories that you maybe ever have watched. Do you consider those two of the biggest comebacks you've ever watched? And how do you explain this Cub offense being able to rally and be that resilient?
Well, I just think it goes back to that same thing where they're very confident. You know, it was a cool moment, too. I just felt extremely happy for in that setting. Well, how about Amaya? How about getting the home run with two outs in the ninth to tie the game? This is a guy that got three. He got a weekend off last year in the middle of the season because he was struggling so bad at the plate that they wanted to revamp his approach at the plate and his setup and everything else. And now he is just – that's a different guy, you know, at the plate right now. And I just felt so happy for him. I was stoked just to see him. He was doing some interviews post-game, and he was on with Bruce right after the game. And I you feel great for guys that put in the work, and it pans out for them. That was just a cool moment. Pat and I were like, we sat back after the first comeback game and looked at each other and went, holy cow. Pat goes, I'm exhausted. I go, I agree. That's like, wow, what was that?
Well, you guys were
just great. You know, we just laugh, and, you know, you're loving it. And, you know, when the team's doing good, you know. You try to keep your broadcast the same all the time, but, you know, the human nature side of your boy, when things are going good, and, you know, it's not that often when you get Pat Hughes yelling into a microphone. Every now and then I take a peek over there, it's got a chance, and he's just happy. It's just great. You know, it's awesome. So we're having a lot of fun, and I do think we were both at the end of the second game against the Dodgers. It was like, wow, that was something. So, yeah, so it's been really good, David. It's been really good.
Great stuff, Ron. Thank you, buddy. Have a great weekend. Great to catch up with you. Appreciate it.
Have a great weekend, Coom.
Yep, you guys too. Have a great weekend, and good luck to the Bears in day two of the draft. Let's hope they can do some things and get back on track.
Let's go. That sounds good to me. That is Ron Coomer. Always fun to talk to
him. Always plugged into everything going on.